Well, it's good to see each one of you in the Lord's house this morning. Pray for my voice that it will hold up. I have had a head cold this week and it tends to settle in my throat. So y'all say a prayer for me. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6. We want to look at verses 7 through 10. We want to look at the subject of choices and consequences. Every choice that we make has a consequence. Sometimes we don't realize what that consequence is, and sometimes it's so far removed from the act that we don't recognize it even when the consequence comes. But you can rest assured that there will always be a consequence of every choice. Sometimes those consequences are good, sometimes those consequences are bad. And so God wants to direct our lives in such a way that we lay up in store good consequences by making good choices. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our understanding of your word. Pray, Lord, that you would apply this to our lives. Cause us to make the choices that will bring about the consequences that favor the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Decisions are something that we all have to make every day. Several times in a day we make decisions. Sometimes those decisions seem very menial. Sometimes they seem like something that's just what you have to do. And other times they are very difficult decisions, but decisions are made every day. And with every decision, there is a change that takes place. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God sees our life and the decisions we make as he sees a garden. When we plant seeds in our garden, there's three things that we can always say about those seeds. They're going to produce the same thing that we sow. It's going to come up later than we sow, and hopefully we're going to reap more than we sow. If you plant one kernel of corn and you get one kernel of corn back, gardening would be unprofitable. And so it is the same with the law of the harvest. When we make decisions, we reap more than we sow. It's always later than we sow, but it's always what we sow. He says, don't be deceived. Now, when God says don't be deceived, that should give us a clue that the devil is going to try to deceive us in this area. He's going to try to get us to make decisions that are going to really hurt us, and he's going to try to make us think that they're good decisions. So he says here, don't be deceived. And he says, God is not mocked. In other words, no matter how crafty your decisions may seem to be, no matter how infallible all your planning, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It never comes back wrong. You never plant corn and get beans. It's always what you sow is what you reap. And folks, we don't have to convince God of anything. Do you know that? We can't talk God out of anything. We can't change God's mind about anything. The law of the harvest is always the same. And so what we have to do is not try to change the law of the harvest, but learn how to live by the law of the harvest. And when we do that, we do the sowing that brings forth good reaping. Excuse me. The first thing I want you to see is the freedom that we have in our choices. Choices are free to us because we have received Christ as our Savior. Choices are not free to the lost person. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have a freedom to choose. Listen to what Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 14 says. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being dead, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now that is a wonderful truth. When we receive Christ as our Savior, He completely sets us free from sin's domination in our life. We have the power by God's grace to choose how we're going to live our life. And so that puts a tremendous responsibility upon us because of this freedom that we have. A whole lot of people have misunderstood this freedom and took it as liberty to do whatever they want to do. That's a mistake. It's a mistake because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It is an opportunity to begin to sow the good seeds that we could not sow before we come to know Christ as Savior. Now we have a freedom to do what's right. We don't have a freedom to do what's wrong. What's wrong still will corrupt our very life. And so here we see that God has set us free to make these decisions. Now, you have no choice but to make decisions. Amen? You've got to do it. Everybody has to choose. What we can't choose is the consequence of our choice. I wish we could. I wish that we could figure all that out and choose those consequences. But what we can do is choose the things that we know brings about the right consequence. He tells us very clearly, if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so we know how to sow in order to bring about the consequence that we desire. Every one of us wants God's blessing upon our life. Amen? We all want that. We all need that. We all have to have that. And so if we're going to have that, God has given us clear instructions how to have His blessings, and that is by sowing the way God has told us to sow. Now, what happens when we make wrong decisions? Well, it's something I like to call funneling. Listen to what he says here, verse 15 and 16. What then? This is Romans chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, same chapter. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Now what's he saying here? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So how do we respond to that as Christians? Once we know that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we're free. Nothing can ever separate us from that point forward from the love of God. So what does that do to us? Do we then sin because we're not under the law but under grace, and sin cannot condemn us? He says, God forbid. Don't you understand? You're still sowing seeds that are going to bring a horrible consequence into your life. So what do I mean by funneling? Let's take the example of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, just like us, had everything before him. He could choose anything he wanted. And he went to the father and he made the wrong decision right off. He said, I want to run my own life. Now I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. Give me all that's coming to me. I want to run my own life. I think I can do a better job than you can. To clear up what we're talking about here, the man, the father in this parable, represents God. The prodigal son represents us. And whenever we make a decision to run our own life, we take a step away from God. Now this man had all of the world before him when he walked away from God. He could choose to do right, he could choose to do wrong. God gives us that freedom, but he also with that freedom gives us that responsibility. He turns us loose in the world and he says, you're free. You've been set free from sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Sin does not have dominion over you anymore. And so we start out in our life, and as Christians, like the prodigal son, we make wrong decisions. What that man lost as he made wrong decisions was his power to choose. You realize that? His power to choose in this parable is represented by his funding, his money. He had enough money to choose anything he wanted to start with. But after he made a few wrong choices, his choices narrowed down. And every time he made a wrong choice, it got a little bit narrower. He no longer had those choices that he could make until finally he found himself without any choice at all. It was either starve to death or eat with the pigs. His choices had all funneled down to one thing. Now sometimes we see that as a real problem in our lives. When things start closing in on us. But I want you to know it is the love of God that brings you to the place of repentance. It is the love of God that causes your decisions to very quickly close in on you so that He can then call you back to a place of repentance and faith once again. God brings us to that narrow place, and it is a place of frustration. And I want you to see that. Look at 2 Timothy 2:22 through 26. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, this is instruction, folks. He says, this is the way you should be living your life. Flee youthful lust. Get away from them. Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, stay there and you're sowing the good seeds that bring good consequences. But notice verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And listen to verse 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Here you see the end result of the prodigal son. Here you see the end result of this funneling effect of our sinfulness as Christians. It brings us to a place so we have no way out. We have to either turn totally away from God or turn back to God. And he says that we are to instruct those that oppose themselves so that God will grant them repentance that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. There is a place in the Christian life where the devil has you and just holds you because of your surrender to him. He says in Romans chapter 6 there again, don't you understand that if you yield yourself to be the servant of sin, you're the servant of sin. Even though you've been set free, you can once again sign up to be the servant of sin. And at that state, you have to be rescued by God. He has to grant you repentance so that you can return and be made free once again. Now let's look at the development of this. Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Have you ever been guilty of sinning and thinking, well, I know something bad is going to happen because I've sinned, but nothing bad seems to happen? Well, the Bible covers that in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, because sentence is not executed speedily against an unrighteous act, the hearts of the sons of men is set within them to practice wickedness. It's because we do not make the connection. It takes too long. We think. And we think we have gotten by with it, so we mix the signals. We don't understand that we're sowing and reaping from two different time periods. If you start reaping the evil that you have sown in the past, and you say, I'm going to quit this, I'm going to cut this foolishness out, I'm going to start serving the Lord, there's still going to be a time of reaping from the past because it's always later than we sow. And as we see that, don't confuse that with where it's coming from. And so the law of the harvest is always secure. It's always consequential. Every choice, every decision we make has a consequence. And that consequence will line up exactly with the cause, which is the choice. Let's look at the process that goes on in the Christian life and in the lost person's life when sin takes over. When we begin to choose to sin and we think we're getting by with it, and we're steadily sowing and sowing and sowing and nothing bad has happened yet. It's kind of like the optimist. Somebody said the optimist is the man who jumps out of a 20-story building and every floor he goes by he says, all right, so far. There's an end to that. And God is always right in what he tells us. And he says here that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And so as we begin our life away from God, no matter what the transgression, no matter what the deviation, we must be aware of the fact that we are treasuring up trouble for our lives, for our families, for everybody associated with us. Listen to Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And notice the path here. It's like a vortex of doom. As we begin to make decisions, those decisions then begin to have consequences, and those consequences begin to pull us more into wrong decisions, and those wrong decisions pull us into greater consequences until finally we are out of control. Many people today will tell you, I have things in my life that are sinful that I just can't stop doing. The Bible says that there are those who are always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what happens. You see, part of the consequence of sin is a locking into that vortex of doom so that we just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and we do not see the problem. Till finally we can't even see right and wrong. You say, wait a minute, I can still see right and wrong. It's time to turn back. Have you been to that place yet where you either had to turn back to God or turn away from God? I hope you made the right decision when you got there. Because it's a very critical place. Because if you come to that place and you turn away, that's when God turns you over to a new level of sin. And when you fill that up and you come to the place again where you have to say, I've got to either turn back to my Father or I've got to go on deeper into sin, then God turns you over again if you make that wrong choice. And it just does not just affect you. It affects your family. It affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. Everybody is affected by the choices that we make. And so it's very important that we make our choices carefully, knowing that there is a consequence. And you see, we never stay the same, do we? The way we look at sin changes every time we sin. The way we approach unto decisions changes every time we approach decisions incorrectly. Things change. They never stay the same. Now let's look at the perception. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 10 says this. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now notice what he's saying here. Your whole perception of God as a Christian can change if you just keep getting further and further and further into sin. Your whole concept of God can change. And he says that you can forget that you were ever washed from your old sins. And that's not a good state to be in. Because then the devil begins to use all kinds of strategy against you. And he begins to show you that you are captured and you can't get away. He begins to tell you that no matter what decision you make, it's going to be the wrong decision because God is angry with you and God doesn't love you anymore. But you see, the truth of the matter is, God is standing there like the prodigal son's father with his arms open wide. And he's ready to kill the fatted calf and throw his arms around you and put the best robe upon you. He's waiting for you to come home. But the devil has so many tricks, so many promises, and so much history with you. If you're not careful, he'll pull you down. Now what's the product of all this? Acts chapter 8 verses 9 through 24. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Notice that there is an end product of all of this turning away from God. All these decisions. We end up, as he says here, in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. The gall of bitterness will destroy us, will destroy everything we love, everybody we love, and the ministry that God has called us to. And so God has shown us the consequences that happen when we make wrong choices. God does not want you to live in that kind of a state. God does not want you to be off in sin, drowning in your sin, wondering how you could ever get out of it, in situations that are so unjoyful and unhappy that you sometimes wish the Lord just come on back and take you to heaven. That's not where God wants you. God wants you to follow the directions that he has given us in his word. Let's look at those directions. Look at what he says here in verse 9 and 10 of our text. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's a very simple thing to turn back to God. But notice what he says. Don't be weary in well-doing. It's important instructions. You see, one thing that happens when a person is living in sin, when they've turned away from God, and they no longer have the joy and the peace and the happiness that God has called them to, that person begins to be closed in, as we said before. And in that closed in position, they do not see any way back to God. And so they start struggling to make decisions based on their past. God says we have to completely break with that. And we begin to sow the good seeds. Now let's go back to the little illustration of the garden. Let's suppose that you think you're planting corn, but somebody gives you lima beans instead. And you go out and plant your lima beans and thinking it's corn the whole time. And when it comes up, it's lima beans. But you don't like lima beans. You want corn. Now you can go out there and you can try to tape some corn kernels on the lima bean stalks and make it look like corn. You can do all kinds of stuff, but it's not going to work. What do you have to do? You have to go back and start planting the corn all over again. And as you plant that corn, you're still going to eat lima beans for a while until the corn starts coming up. And he says, don't be weary in well-doing, because you will reap in due season if you faint not. Now, how do we plant those seeds? Let's suppose this morning that there's somebody here and you have been struggling with your Christian life. There's a lot of things in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, and you know that it's treasuring up all kinds of problems for you and your family. And you know that you've made some serious choices that are turning you away from God. What do you do at this point? You say, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm hemmed in a corner. I can't get out of this. Don't you believe that? That's the trick of the devil. Jesus will take you where you are and turn you around if you will listen to his instruction. Now listen to what he says. Don't be weary in well-doing. You just knuckle down. You start doing the right things and let the consequences take care of themselves. Now what is the right thing? How do we turn around? Well, first, we study to learn God's ways. So many times, what people do when they receive Christ as Savior, the big problem that they come to God with is hell. We don't want to go to hell. And so once that problem is solved and we understand we're not going to hell, we've been saved, then we just kind of, okay, now I'm going to move on with my life. And that's where the devil messes us up. Because we get into all kinds of sin thinking, hey, I'm good. I've got my fire insurance policy. But it destroys the very joy that God left for us. And it just completely tears us up. So we've got to go back and we've got to take seriously now. We make the mistake on the front end when we first get into this thing. We do it all wrong. We have to say, oh, wait a minute. I jumped the gun. I need to go back and see what God wants me to do. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Him. He has a right to dictate how I live my life. And so let's go find out what Jesus wants us to do. We study to learn His ways. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:15. If you've been in Awana, you know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Hear what he says? Approved unto God. Somebody who God will approve of. Your decisions are godly decisions. And how do we do that? By rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding what God is talking about because we receive it in the right spirit. We receive it with a purpose to learn God's ways so that we can serve God by His rules, by His standards. Make our choices based on what He wants us to do. Listen, if we have no intention of obeying God, we will never understand God's directions. But when we submit to His will, whatever it is, God will reveal His will to us. Then we submit in the little things of our life. I think most Christians make their mistake by trying to wrestle down all the big stuff and forgetting the little stuff. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. It's the little decisions. It's when we don't take care of the little things that the big things get out of whack. Listen to Luke 16:10. I put that in there wrong. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You see, that's not just something that's in there for filler. The only way we will ever be able to make the hard decisions in the will of God is if we make the little decisions in the will of God. The only way we will ever be faithful in big things is if we are faithful in little things. And when God reveals to us little things that we ought to do, don't just say, hey, I've got too much big stuff I got to deal with. I can't deal with the little stuff. You will never deal with the big stuff properly until you learn to submit in every little thing that God brings in your life. When we begin to turn over the little things of our life, we will find that everything is a little thing after that. But if we resist in the little things, the big things will also be out of control. And then we have to stand for our entire life. There is no time for quitting in the Christian life. You're not ever going to arrive. You're not ever going to be so that you don't need God's grace. You're going to always need it. God's grace is the only thing that separates the Christian who is 100 years old from the Christian who is 6 years old. It's God's grace. We as people are sinners. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, He saves sinners. And we still have a sinful nature that must be overcome by the grace of God. And so we are absolutely dependent upon God's grace. And so when we learn how to stand and we learn how to make the right decisions, we've got to continue that and stand for the rest of our life. Don't let up because we understand the consequences of the wrong decisions. See, God is not punishing us by telling us how to live. God is protecting us because God does not want you to struggle in your sin. God does not want you to destroy your life. So many young people destroy their lives before they ever get started. They have so many wrong decisions that they make early that their life just goes astray and they never learn how to get it back. Let me tell you, wherever you are this morning, God will meet you there and bring you right back into the path. He is in the business of turning sinners around. And I thank God for that. Now listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice he says here that we have to take a stand. We have to position ourselves on the side of God and live there. How do we do that? Well, I said before, all of us that are saved are sinners saved by grace. I'm not a little bit better in my sinful nature than I was when I got saved. Not a little bit. Same sinful nature. I still need the grace of God in my life. If you're a Christian, you still need the grace of God in your life. And the more we understand that, the more we know where to go when sin begins to close in on us. We can go to God just like we did at salvation and ask God to redeem us and to take us out of the sinful life and put us in the godly life, to redeem our spirit, to seal us into the day of redemption. And he did that without charge. Now I want you to know that same Jesus stands ready this morning to take away your desire for sin so that you may live in his holiness by his grace. He's the only one that can do that. And when you call on him and say, Lord, by myself, I can do nothing. Take away my desire for the sinfulness of my flesh so that your desire may overpower me and that I may live for you. David prayed a prayer way back over in the book of Psalms. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. That is the need of every Christian, is to have the Lord Jesus Christ completely take over in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we need is a renewed mind. And if that mind has been corrupted by choices that we have made, and those choices have led us into a vortex of doom, I want you to know, Jesus stands there saying, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see, Jesus doesn't help us, he fixes us. He's not our example, he's our Savior. This morning, it is my desire, and I know it is your desire if you're a Christian, to follow Jesus 100%. And the only way we can do that is by his grace. And we need to call upon him for that grace. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. And you're still on your road to hell. Let me tell you, Jesus wants to save you. He died on the cross to save you. And he has sent the general invitation to all men, whosoever will, may come. If you're here this morning, he's ready to save you. And he will save you by his grace if you'll call upon his name. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace, for your love, for your mercy. And Lord, thank you for giving us hope in a hopeless world. And Lord, in a time when it seems like the world has completely turned their back on you, Lord, help us to realize that you stand ready to redeem those that call upon you. And you stand ready to bring back and restore all the prodigals that have turned from you. And Lord, I pray that your grace would be poured out upon everyone that calls upon your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.